Welcome to Unexpected Turns.
Always tired, you know, feeling overworked, and it's like helping someone be depressed. Like, for me, I had a good job, great family, you know, good friends. Why was I depressed? Like, I didn't even see it myself until it just hit me one day.
Hello, I'm Anne Dibben, and this is Unexpected Turns, where along with my co-hosts, Julie and Bev, we get to delve into the lives of some truly inspirational people whose lives haven't quite gone to plan.
Today, we welcome Adam Manley and his family of travelling nomads, bravely deciding to quit the rat race, sell everything, and buy a camper van. Now, of no fixed abode, he and his family set off for Europe.
Seeing life from a different perspective.
So, over to Adam, who I believe is parked up in his motorhome in a lorry park in France. Welcome, Adam.
Hello, everyone.
You look really comfy there.
Very relaxed.
Hiding in the overcab of the motorhome.
Oh.
Above the drive.
It's the closest you've got to a man cave, is it, Adam?
It is, definitely.
Whereabouts are you?
Probably about an hour outside of Le Mans in France. Actually in a lorry park at the moment because we got stuck in traffic. So just pulled over somewhere where I could call you guys and have a chat.
Oh, thank you.
Can you tell us a bit about yourself?
Yes, got a partner, Stephanie, dog, Bailey, and a one-year-old called Leo and a five-year-old called Dylan. We've been travelling since April full-time last year.
Wow.
We had plans to relocate to New Zealand, and then COVID came along and the job offers were put on ice, if you like. And then, well, Stephanie fell pregnant with Leo, and when she told work, they made her redundant. That was like a massive blow.
Sure.
You know, it's absolutely disgraceful to just come up with a reason why they have to make a redundant. So we challenged it and said we were going to go to tribunal, and they denied it. But between the two of us, did a bit of Google lawyering, took a bit of advice from ACAS, and lo and behold, they rang up and agreed to settle. So got a little bit of money out of that, and a big moral win.
Yeah, that was one of the questions initially about, you know, what events sort of made you want to decide to sort of up and escape the rat race. And obviously that was a big part of it. But had you always had this yearning to go on the road and travel?
We've always loved traveling to different places, and we've always liked to try and get around with the kids and stuff. And then we bought a camper van, a VW, in the July before that. But obviously we only had one child at that point and the dog. And we just got the bug from there, really. And just thought, basically, do you know what? Life's too short. We were looking to sell a house anyway. And we thought, well, let's just sell everything, quit our jobs. Because even though, you know, I had a good job, and thought, well, if we sell everything, we can clear all our debts, we'll have a mortgage, buy a motorhome. And we'll just go on the road and we'll just see what happens.
That's, oh, brave.
Wow.
That's what we did.
So you'd never had a motorhome before?
We had the camper van for about 8 months, and then we just sold everything, sold the camper van, and then bought a motorhome, yeah, six berth. With a big garage at the back so we could get all the boys' bikes, skateboards and scooters, everything else in there. Yeah, and that's what we've been doing, and I haven't regretted it once, really. It's just been a fantastic experience for all of us, I think.
Some experience.
Exciting.
You say you haven't regretted it at all. What would you say, though, is probably the most interesting place you've been? I mean, you must have visited some spectacular places.
In terms of, like, the beauty of a country and being totally surprised by it, I would definitely say it was Croatia, because the pictures, you know, it was as good as you see it on the photos, and the food was fantastic there. I mean, on the coastal regions, you know, it is largely influenced by Italian cuisine. I think it was, I could be wrong, but I'm pretty sure part of Croatia was part of Italy at some point. So the food was fantastic. It was really reasonable, and people were really friendly. The campsites were were absolutely phenomenal. I mean, we wanted to stay off grid or wild camp, free camp, whatever you want to call it. But in Croatia, we were told, you know, it was strictly forbidden.
Yeah.
So we ended up staying on campsites with the Axi card, and their campsites were just the best campsites I've ever stayed on. And the cities, Zadar, beautiful. They've got like an art installation where when the waves crash, it's like a piano or a sea organ. And at the same time as that, they've got a massive light playing in the floor. So it's just magical things. You know, the kids loved it, beautiful. But that was definitely the most beautiful country we went to. In terms of things that really sort of make you stand back and they sort of grip you, I don't know if there's a place called, I might pronounce it wrong, in Spain, called Belchite or Belchite.
All right.
Which, when the Spanish Civil War was taking place in the late 1930s, General Franco, a huge battle there, and they absolutely razed the city to the ground. There's obviously untold atrocities, and Franco essentially said to the people of the village, you're not allowed to rebuild the village. So he made them leave the village as it was to send a message to everybody else. If you mess with Franco, this is what happens. They then had to build a new village next to the existing in the shadow of it. And it's actually said to be the most haunted town in the whole world.
Mm.
At dusk, you can hear the wails of a distraught child screaming for his mum on the winds. We did a tour and we were actually there at dusk. Your mind does start to play tricks on you in a very somber place. And it just brings home the harsh realities of war. And, you know, there's so much going on. But we just sit at home in our, you know, in our houses, and we don't really get a sense of what it's like to be somewhere like that. And because it's all been preserved and untouched, you really do get a feel for it. And they actually lock the gate when you go in.
Oh, gosh.
We just thought we could leave if we wanted to. And obviously having a young baby and a young child, we ran out of nappies. We had a bit of a crisis. Like, oh, we're gonna have to slope away slowly. So we don't want to be disrespectful. And we'll go back and we'll change his nappy. Dylan was saying he needed a wee. So we managed to sneak off, and we get to the door and I go to open the gate to get out, and it's locked.
You
completely fence it all off, so people can't go in, you know, treasure hunting or whatever.
So
we were actually locked inside this town.
So, my gosh.
With a boy needing a wee and a baby with a smelly nappy. Oh. But that's definitely one of the most thought-provoking places I think we've been.
Sounds amazing.
What part of Spain is that, Adam?
It's on the way to Zaragoza, so I would class it as northern Spain.
Right.
So did you just come across that by chance?
It was purely by chance, yeah. We were planning to stay somewhere else where there was quite a few vineyards. When we got there was a sign, and I was like, what does that sign say? When we Google translated it, it was basically a sign sort of saying prostitution won't be tolerated. So we thought we better not stay here, because that's not really where you're staying with your family. So we promptly emptied filled our water up and everything, and drove somewhere else, and then we just came across it. But we've done that quite a few times. You know, some of the best places we found have been purely by chance. So near the Pyrenees, we stumbled across a big massive reservoir where you could drive down, park up and stay there as long as you like. Beautiful place in the Pyrenees. You got massive birds of prey soaring over you, and it was absolutely fantastic.
Amazing.
Is that generally what you do? You don't have a plan, we're gonna go here or there today?
Not normally, no. Obviously we have to have a few. Like when we first went over to Spain, my mum bought a house in southern Spain, in the hills, Almeria.
Oh, nice.
So she was flying over, so we worked our way down through northern Spain, but we didn't plan where we would stop or where we would stay. We just sort of took it as it came, really, because again, when you've got two kids, you don't know what's going to happen.
No.
You don't know how long you're going to get. And I quite like the idea, if we like somewhere, we would just stay there for a bit. We don't really plan anything. We just see where it takes us, unless we've got to be somewhere. But like, we're working our way back up now to France, and we've not we're not planned where we're going to stop. We just see where the wind takes us, but we're going the rough direction towards Calais.
Adam, does your mum live in Spain permanently? Is she?
She does. Yeah, she does.
Ah, right.
They bought a house in the December, not last year, the year before, so they could get residency. So it's up in the hills, like a courty house. So it's got of the main house, and then they've got a couple of outbuildings. I think it's just under a hectare of land. They've got a lot of work to do to it.
Oh, sounds idyllic.
Yeah, it is. It is. It's in a beautiful part of Spain, but it's crazy up there. It is a bit crazy.
Why is it crazy?
Well, so they had been there a few weeks, and they went out, and there's like the electricity cable that runs across the valley by their house was sort of split. And like, what's happened there? And then one of the neighbours was saying there was a hunter, and he just shot the electricity cable, the power cable, with his gun, trying to shoot a bird. There's another guy who they got in to give a quote for plastering in his 70s, and he had like a bullet round it on a chain round his neck.
Gosh.
And they were like, oh, you know, what's that? And he said, oh, this is when I got shot. And they were like, what? He said, yeah, I was just out walking on my land, and then basically hit this bang, and I'd been shot in the shoulder.
Oh.
And he said, bloody hell, that's terrible, like,
yeah.
And he said, yeah, well, you know, it's been a rough 6 months, but I'm recovering well. The guy's like in his 70s, but
good grief.
It's they all drive down the dry riverbed, so there's like a dry riverbed,
yeah,
that leads straight to the nearest town, and that's quicker than the road, the Rambler, as they call it. But they all just get tanked up and just drive along the riverbed, so you know, half cut or whatever. It's just bonkers. The local Guardia, apparently. I mean, I haven't tested out myself because I'm a law-abiding citizen.
You can't drive a motorhome down one of those Ramblers. I've seen them. There's no way you can drive a motorhome.
You can.
Down. Really?
I did it because I like to live for the spirit of adventure, and I did drive it down. I would say that I would not recommend anyone to do it because we had an extremely narrow escape. The riverbed narrowed, or the path narrowed to the point because we took a wrong turn, and we just about managed to turn around and make it back safely. But I was not in Steph's good books at all.
No.
I thought I was overconfident, and I almost paid the price of getting the most home stuck. But yeah, you wouldn't want to drive a car down there.
No,
that's for sure.
No.
I mean, the ones I've seen, you know, they're difficult enough to walk down some of them.
Yeah, they're different, aren't they? This one's quite flat for the most part, but then if you take a wrong turn, then it's not used by people. It's used by the odd farmer or someone in an off-road vehicle. So it was pretty, once we got to that point and we realised trying to turn around was definitely a hairy moment, and definitely humbled me a bit. I think I'd just gotten feeling a bit overconfident after all the other places we've been in the motorhome, and managed to make it up the rough tracks and stuff. But so we made it out alive, and it's a memory, so it'll be fine.
And nobody shot you?
No. Nobody shot me, but we went to my mum's neighbours, was Issa and Domingo, who were in their 70s, and they live, he can't drive because he's had a stroke, so he can't drive anyway. So they just live up in the hills. They don't, you know, my mum does shopping for them every 2 weeks. She takes them into the local town. But like, they invite us around for something to eat and drink. And once they get you there, they can't get you away. They're just trying to feed continually. And he got his gun out. He got hair gun out, sorry. And I didn't, and then fired hair gun. Yeah, apparently his gun is much longer. And then fired it in the middle of the house. It didn't have any cartridges in it, but he just literally picked it up and like fired it. And I absolutely bottled one, because I wasn't even aware of what he was talking about. I just heard this massive bang, and it was him just firing pellets. So, but yeah.
Do they all do a lot of hunting in the woods and mountains?
I mean, it's quite an arid part of the country. I would say it's the desert is in Almeria. Yeah. A lot of almond groves, but there's rabbits and a lot of other things. So a lot of them do hunt and they'll trap birds and stuff as well.
Way of life, we
could judge them, but yeah, it's their way of life. One of the other neighbors has a trap and he'll sit with food out. And he waits for the birds to go into to where all the feed is. And if you can imagine, it's like a big bowl or something. And then he just pulls this thing and it drops the bowl on top of the birds. And then he dispatches them.
Okay.
I think it was starlings or something. But I mean, how much meat is going to be on one of them?
Not much.
No, you need a few of those to make a pie, definitely.
Yeah, definitely.
That's a big adventure for your mum, you know, to up and start. Yeah. A new life in Spain as well.
They always wanted to do something. They'd sold their house and they did want to move to Spain. They were just struggling to find somewhere, and then Brexit made them think, oh, sugar, we better get on and buy something. So obviously that's what they did, but they wanted to do something so they could spend more quality time together. A bit like us, really, just escape the 9-to-5.
Exactly, yeah.
You know, there was a lot of people who were at that pensionable age, and then the government extended it, didn't they?
So
you sort of got caught up in that. Moving to Spain, obviously the cost of living's a lot cheaper and property's cheaper, so they took the decision to just go for it, really, and see where they got to. Fair play to them.
Yeah.
Much respect for someone doing that.
Yeah.
So which area were you living before you moved away?
We used to live in Cheshire, so in between kind of Warrington and Manchester. So the house there, which we bought about 6-7 years ago, which was a complete sort of wreck. We had a massive garden backed onto a nature reserve, and we just basically got it just how we wanted it.
Yeah.
Obviously, house prices have been going crazy with COVID, and someone said, oh, you know, you probably get X amount for your house. And we were like, what? Really? And we all right, let's put it on the market. And lo and behold, it sold pretty much straight away. So.
Good.
We just thought, yeah, let's go for it. Now that's it. We've got a bit of money in the bank to just go on an adventure and
wow.
Just, I mean, I'm a project manager in the construction industry. Well, I was.
Yeah.
And I just fancied doing something different. I didn't know what was around the corner, and I was kind of hoping that we could do something where we wouldn't have to go back to normality, so to speak. But when, you know, there's four of you. You know, you do need quite a bit of money coming in to sustain yourself. We didn't really find that solution to avoid having to go back to the rat race. But what I have done is I've actually managed to get a part-time job.
All right.
As a consultant. So I've got to go back to the UK, and I have got to go back to the rat race.
Oh.
Only for a few days a week. It's not what I wanted to do, but you've got to compromise. You know, you can have dreams, but along the way sometimes you have to just sort of adapt those dreams.
So are you able to do that work from wherever you are?
At the moment, yes, but further down the line I think I may have to go to the office once every 2 weeks. But the UK is a big place, and we are actually considering maybe getting somewhere in Portugal, and then I'll just fly back. But, you know, as we all know, COVID's got a lot of uncertainty into the mix. So for the moment, we're just going to travel around the UK in the motorhome still. And then, yeah, work it out as it comes, really. Definitely don't want to be going back to bricks and mortar.
No.
So you're quite happy just living in the motorhome?
Yeah, we love it. I mean, I love the sense of freedom. I love the ability to just go anywhere and do anything. The thought of staying somewhere now for more than a couple of weeks. We've all said it. We just get itchy feet. We just want to be exploring.
Yeah.
It's a weird feeling, and it hasn't subsided.
No. Is that what you enjoy the most about your lifestyle? The freedom?
Definitely. I mean, I enjoy the most about my lifestyle is that now, you know, I get to actually spend quality time with the family. Whereas before, you go to work, and by the time you get back from work, you've got to take the dog out, you have your tea, then it's time, you know, almost boys' bedtime. And you know, it sounds horrible, but when you've been working all day, you're tired and you're wishing for them to go to bed.
Yeah.
So you can get that bit of downtime.
Yeah.
Don't be wrong, I still look forward to when they go to bed now. So we can both have a glass of wine and a chat, or you know, a cup of tea or something. But it's the quality time with the boys, and you know, that's something that is priceless. You can't, you know, you can't buy that. You can buy lots of things in the world, but you can't buy quality time with your family. And
true.
So that's what I enjoy the most. I enjoy sharing the moments with them. It's just the little things, like driving along and, you know, my son spotting a deer or a bird of prey. Or when we were in Croatia, we came across a wolf, which was scary, but at the same time, it was
exciting for them.
How do you cope in the small space?
Normally pretty well. I thought we'd end up killing each other, but we've actually been quite good. People say, oh, how do you cope with it? You know, there's four people and a large dog in your motorhome, but the weather's been nice for the most part. We're out all the time anyway. I think in the UK it'll be a different story. When it's raining, you don't. That's a challenge that we've got to obviously address, but we'll work it out. And I've booked a cottage in Scotland anyway for a week, just so that we can get out the motorhome and
have a bit of space.
Yeah, but for the most part, it's fine.
Sounds fun.
When they go, boys go to bed, you've got a space that you can just sit and be up, and they're not disturbed then.
Yeah, they're used to it. They sleep where I am now. And we'll just sit downstairs, literally below them. They're not fazed. They're used to it. You know, they're used to it now. And strangely, I think it's better for them. Like, because they can hear our voices, they tend to sleep better anyway.
Yeah.
Dylan certainly does. He was a terrible sleeper when we were at the house. Yeah, it's fine. It's fine. The dog's probably more of a pain than anyone else. She's 11. And she'll, like, start yelping if she wants me to get up and cover her over in the middle of the night. And then she might decide she wants to go out in the middle of the night, and she's the biggest pain, to be honest. But I would love them all. Wouldn't change it for a thing.
No.
Is there anything that you miss from your old life?
No, nothing. No, I don't miss anything. It's really strange. I thought I'd miss things, but not at all. Don't miss a single thing. Don't miss the UK at all, whatsoever. No. And the thought of going back actually fills us with regret. You know, I used to love going for a lovely walk in the UK, and I'm looking forward to doing that.
Yeah.
But aside from that, it's so much busier in the UK. Everything's a lot more congested. You know, everything's so much more expensive. I've been working remotely. I go into a cafe and I'll get a cafe con leche, you know, a milky coffee and a tostada, like a toasted baguette with some fresh tomato on it, and it's €2. Crazy. And the same with we were in San Sebastian a couple of days ago, and we went for a tour around there. We were in all the pinch toss bars, so it's all like little bits of food with cocktail sticks in. Absolutely crazy in there, so noisy, don't know what the hell's going on, but so much different food to try. And then it's €2 for a big glass of white wine, and Pinstoss is about €2.
Wow.
It's just different. In the UK, we go to a pub and we'd get two drinks and maybe a Coke for the boys for being good, or maybe a packet of crisps. And you're talking £20 or more.
Yeah.
Spain or Croatia, or it's not like that. It's probably about €6, £5. And it's a better atmosphere. It's just, you know, the sun's out, so
that makes a difference.
It does make a difference. I don't miss anything about the UK other than the walks.
Do you see yourself being in the UK for a period of time and then heading back out to Europe again?
Yeah, definitely. If it wasn't for the 90-day rule, then we definitely wouldn't be going back to the UK.
Mm.
With Brexit now, you know, we stay for 90 days, can't you? And we went over to Europe, did our tour, and then we had to go back to the UK for our second job, but then we drove, basically got to France, just drove as quickly as possible down to Croatia to spend time there, because that's not in a 90-day rule. So we spent 5 weeks in Croatia. That's why we've got to go back to the UK.
Mm-hmm.
Don't want to, definitely not now.
Mm-hmm.
And then see where the wind takes us, maybe apply for Portuguese visa.
Yeah, nothing you miss about the UK. I think that's wonderful.
No,
you talked a little bit about how you are having to go back to the UK to because of funding yourself. Have you tried to find any jobs while you've been out there travelling?
I have tried to find remote work, yes. I'll be 100% honest. I planned to do it when we started in the April. And then we said, let's have a couple of months adventure.
Yeah.
And then before I knew it, it was October. Yeah. And I was like, oh, right, we've got to start now. So that's when I basically put myself back out there into the world of work and had an opportunity to come up with High Speed 2.
Mm.
And that sounded great. The guy said, you literally only need to come back to the UK once every month. And he was actually, he's got a place out in Spain himself. So he was going to do that. And that sounded fantastic. And then everything went quiet. Didn't hear anything.
All
right. And I thought, oh, I was a bit deflated. But, you know, I'd had quite a lot of other interests. And I knew once I got back to the UK, I could definitely get a job. And then purely by chance, I had a friend who works in the same industry and they desperately needed somebody, and I said, tell them, I'll do it. I don't need, if it's a day a week, whatever, I'll do it. It's just not full time. So he put me in touch with this guy, and yeah, we agreed a deal, how much I wanted a day, and he came back and said, that sounds okay to me. And I said, that's brilliant, fantastic. And inside I was bursting with joy.
Yeah, sure.
Yeah, so I've been able to start that work since just before Christmas. So that's been really good, and it's starting to get a bit of money into the bank.
Yeah.
When you, but the irony is, literally 2 days after I'd started work with the new company, I got a call from the High Speed 2, and I had to say, no, sorry guys. I was a bit morally conflicted anyway, because HS2 actually runs through our old local pub
where
before we sold our house. You've got to put your morals aside sometimes just to get work. So feed the family,
yeah.
Kind of glad in a way.
Well, Adam, you seem a really chilled, relaxed, sort of laid back person, you know. Have you always been like that, or do you think this lifestyle has changed you?
I think like everything, we're all on a journey, and you know, I had a pretty dark time about a few years ago. Well, I was touched by it before. Are you in work all day? You come back and I'd be tired from work, always tired, you know, feeling overworked, and it just, you know, things were fraught. And you know, I did have a really bad time. I did go through, you know, a really dark time, and then I came out of that with a renewed sort of perspective on life. So it calmed down a lot, it wasn't as fraught. And yeah, it's been on a journey. Without going into too much detail, really.
Okay.
I think a lot of people go through it. You know, it's definitely a dark, dark time. And now I'm out of it, I can see how depressed I was.
Exactly. Just looking back, yeah.
It's like, how can someone be depressed? Like, for me, I had a good job, great family, you know, good friends. Why was I depressed? Like, I didn't even see it myself until it just hit me. One day I was up doing a meeting with some residents on a project I was working on, and I basically worked my backside to try and get everything sorted for them. But because of politics, basically, they thought that I was the reason things weren't going their way. And I just got absolutely destroyed in this meeting by all these residents. You know,
yeah.
The guy who was supposed to be presenting with me, his daughter was actually on her deathbed. So, you know, and they were just criticizing. And that was really, I drove home and it was an
awful time.
I think probably if things had gone another way, I might have just driven the car off a bloody bridge or something. But
yeah,
sure. As it happened, my missus told me to go to the doctors, and the rest, as they say, is history.
Yeah.
My outlook's totally changed on life. I'm focused. I know what I want.
Good.
And I am all chilled out now.
Yeah, sure.
My missus would tell you that I'm as chilled as I could be, but definitely a lot more chilled.
Good. Thank you for that.
Yeah. You say you're chilled. Are you happy now, would you say?
Oh, yeah, 100%. There's a contentness there. And there's sometimes in life you just feel like you know your place in life. You know you are exactly where you're supposed to be. I don't worry about anything anymore because I know that there's always an answer. And it sounds cliche. I know it sounds cliche, but
not at all.
Keep going. Don't give up, because the minute you give up, that's when you failed. So, and don't be afraid of failure. So many people who have made it in the world, they've failed multiple times. They've gone bankrupt multiple times.
That's right.
They just kept going.
Yeah, and that's true.
They've achieved their dream.
They do.
Someone once said to me, if you go broke, say you get declared bankrupt, you think everybody's looking at you in the street thinking, oh, that person's bankrupt. No one's looking at you like that. You just got to pick yourself up, dust yourself down, and just crack on and learn from life's mistakes and just enjoy the positives. I think you can apply that to any aspect of your life and what you go through. You can't change the past. You can only make the future what you want it to be.
Yeah, it is easy to get caught up in things, isn't it? Oh no.
Yeah.
Day-to-day hassles or problems.
It is.
It takes a very determined thing to actually break away from that pathway.
Yeah.
100%. It's
the next thing is the reality is your little Dylan presumably will need to go to school at some point soon. Is that something that you got a plan for or?
Well, Dylan should have started reception September last year.
Yeah.
But truth be told, with all the COVID, you know, people getting sent home, I don't think they've missed anything, to be honest with you. So, yeah, we've been homeschooling him, but from September this year, we do need the plan in place, really, which is one of the reasons we were considering moving to Portugal, because with the visa there, your children get access to the schools and you get access to medical care and everything. So,
yeah,
truth is, don't know what we're going to do about school, but it's important that, you know, that he goes to school, I think, for the social aspect as well.
It is, yeah, just being able to mix with children of his own age as well, isn't it?
Yeah, definitely. So we will sort it out, but we kind of need to work out what we're doing. Going back to the UK, we've got a source of income, but we don't know how long that source of income will last. So we need to work all those things out. Mm-hmm. But that's part of the adventure.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah. It'll be, something will happen. And as you say, if you are on the continent and you're thinking about schooling, you know, 4 months schooling on the continent doesn't start till 7 anyway. I mean, my family are from Holland and it's very different formal schooling.
Yeah.
I was going to say the same.
Do you have other languages that any of you speak, or have you just managed to get by with English?
Most of the time in Spain, I'm normally just sort of apologising for my Spanish being so bad. You know, lo siento mi español es muy mal. You know, we always try and speak Spanish. And then even if they speak back in English to us, I still try Spanish. French, I'm terrible with. And Stephanie, she could speak French. She got an A in a French GCSEs a long time ago. But I think what we found is trying countries like Spain or other places seem a bit more patient, whereas the French just give you full barrel and seem to get a bit frustrated if you don't understand everything they say. But that's just personal experience from what we've had. And
yeah,
I don't know, just, you know, we have met some lovely French people, but I must say, if I had to pick, we've met people from all over Europe and everyone's been so friendly. We didn't know what to expect because of Brexit and all that sort of thing. And everyone's been really, really friendly. I'll be 100% honest and say, you know, the first time we had to go back to the UK and we had to travel through France, it wasn't enjoyable because the French just wouldn't engage with us to get tests done. So I had to actually get a French-speaking guy to basically call the pharmacy and get tests organised and call the vets. And the frustrating thing was we tried to do it and they basically not come back to us. He rang up and they said, come in whenever you want, come in tomorrow. So bad. It's only one experience. You know, we met a lovely French couple in Benicassim. They were so nice, so friendly, but yeah. I'm not thinking the French, so you know, it's not about that.
I can imagine living this nomad lifestyle, you will have met some interesting people.
Yeah, you know, we have met some really interesting people. We've met some characters for sure. You know, we were traveling down, we were staying in a place called Tarifa, which is, you can see, you know, North Africa from the shores. And I think it is one of the best kite surfing spots in the world. Lovely place. So we were staying there anyway. And this guy just came over and said very abruptly, "You're from England?" I was like, yeah. "You've got a dog. What's it like here?" I said, "Oh, it's all right. Yeah, it's nice." "Oh, yeah, I'm from Gibraltar. It's about an hour away from Tarifa, I think." "Oh, well, yeah." He said, "Oh, I might stay, but I'm not sure." So we got chatting and asked me what I did. And I said, "I'm a project manager in construction." And he said, "Are you looking for work?" And I said, "Yeah, definitely looking for work. I don't want to go back to the UK. And he said, "Oh, I'll give you my card. Call me and then we can sort something out." And I said, "But, you know, I can't live in Spain because of the visa issues. And obviously Gibraltar's massively expensive." Yeah. And he said, "No, you don't need to worry about that. I can sort all that out for you. I can sort you out. I live in Gibraltar. Don't worry about that. You just come and speak to me, visit me in Gibraltar, and we'll sort something out." He said, "You know, I know, you know, you're from Liverpool, you know the score." I was like, "Okay." Said that, I thought, "They're so dodgy, yeah, this guy." So anyway, I took his business card, said, and then I Googled his name, and there was a couple of companies with his name on it based in Gibraltar, but no one just says, "Oh, I'll give you a job in construction" without asking you any further details. No, so no. I'm pretty sure it had been related to something in a shady world. So needless to say, I never took him up on that offer.
Yeah, a bit underhand.
Yeah, 100%. He was definitely involved in something.
Yeah.
We let that one go and didn't contact him. Just put it down to experience.
Yeah, definitely.
Also met a guy in Benidorm who was searching for his son. He'd gone missing in Spain.
Oh, gosh.
So he'd been searching for him for 5 years. Oh. And I asked him where in Spain he'd be, and he said he'd not left the mainland. I asked him where his son went missing, and he said in between Ibiza and Mallorca. So I'm not quite sure why he was on the mainland.
No.
Yeah. Met as many people as I thought we would. I don't know if it's been because of COVID.
Possibly.
We met a lovely German family. Well, she was German and the guy was English. And they offered us a job teaching English at their school in Germany. But we had to get the qualification. But she said, "I can put you through it. I can sponsor you." But we didn't want to live in Germany. So it just wasn't something we want to get involved in. But they were basically adopting cats all over Croatia.
Adopting cats,
which is a lovely thing. Yeah, I asked her how she knew whether the cats were actually stray or someone's pet.
Yeah,
and she didn't answer. So there might be some pet owners looking
for their cats,
and they're actually now living in Black Forest in Germany, somewhere next to a lake. There was a couple of other Germans, and they adopted cats themselves. So it's a very noble thing to do. So, you know, fair play to them, but. I'd always be worried that I was, taking someone's pet off them.
Yeah.
Oh, yeah. Strange.
Some interesting people you've met along the way.
Stephanie's just shouted at me about some other people we met who were interesting. We were staying in a lovely spot in northern Spain. I don't even remember where it was, but it had a natural swimming pool, basically a river, and they'd created a natural swimming pool in that river. And family turned up, an Italian family, and we were playing in the swimming pool. And next thing, the kids came over to play in the pool, as you do. They were about four, and the other one was about two, maybe.
Uh-huh.
And she couldn't swim, and the parents were nowhere to be seen. You couldn't see the children from the pool. And we were like sort of talking to them, playing with them, and thinking, why are you? Like, the girl was on an inflatable, and when she fell off, she really panicking, clinging on to it. So I've jumped in and helped her back on, and the parents
nowhere to be seen.
Didn't pay any attention. So we ended up looking after them, and then the mum came out and said, you know, thanks for looking after them, and we were like, okay. And then They sent the kids into the motorhome that they were staying in, and then they came out for a swim on their own. And we were just like, this is crazy.
Unbelievable.
The next day, the kids back out doing the same thing again. And so then I had to go down to the swimming pool. I thought, I can't leave the kids there, like, on their own.
Gosh, no.
Yeah, I was really surprised by them, to be honest with you. But
gosh.
Yes. Yeah. And their son told me the word for camper in Italian. So I thought, when you say camper in Italian, it's this word. So we were actually in the old town of Benidorm and went out for a meal to this Italian restaurant. And the guy was trying to speak to us in broken English and we couldn't speak to him in Italian. So I tried to say, we live in a motorhome. Whatever word I said is apparently a really derogative term that I think Northern Italy must use on people from Southern Italy. So I said this word and the Italian guy in this beautiful restaurant was like, and he obviously doesn't speak like this. Why did they always have to teach you the words? And I was mortified, absolutely mortified. But
I can imagine.
Funny from the little young lad, but gotta give him credit. But yeah, I honestly, I was,
wow.
The Italian guy was really, really upset. And of course, I really could. He didn't speak English, so I couldn't explain. He didn't poison the food and still had a lovely meal. So
finished on a good note then.
Definitely, definitely.
Well, it all sounds amazing.
It has been, yes. Quite sad talking about it, thinking, got to go back.
So what next then? Where from there?
I hope this isn't broadcasting and none of my employers are listening to it, but I have already started testing the water. Maybe going back to New Zealand or Australia when the borders open, because unlike Novak Djokovic, we're all vaccinated, so we'd be allowed in.
Good for you. So the adventure doesn't stop yet.
Never. Tone it down a bit while I go back to a job, but I'm sure Stephanie and the boys will not allow that. They'll be saying, well, we're earning money now, so let's go and spend it and drive somewhere else.
Off we go.
So let's drive the most northerly part of Scotland, they'll have me run ragged driving places. Definitely.
Is Stephanie like me? Because we've got a motorhome, and well, Julie has got a motorhome as well. I don't drive mine. My husband has to do all the driving. So is Stephanie like me? Does she not drive?
Not really allowed to drive because she's uninsurable. She had a fair few crashes when we had our first. And which since been diagnosed with a problem with her thyroid, and apparently a symptom of that was like a bit of a brain fog. And when you've got children, you don't need a brain fog anyway. But she basically, we had a Mercedes estate, which she smashed into a car outside my mum's old house in the UK. We got that fixed. Then we got I bought her, and she had an Audi estate, which she then drove into a bollard in the middle of a car park. So let's get that fixed. Then something else happened with it. I think she must have crashed it again. Can't remember. Then she got rid of that. So we got her a smaller car because she was undiagnosed at this point. So we got her a Mini Cooper. And then she basically drove straight out into an oncoming car because there used to be a bus stop outside our house and it used to fog up at certain times of the year. So you couldn't really see.
Gosh.
And so she just edged forward and crashed into it. And, you know, that it was horrible for both of us because, you know, I was terrified every time she rang me that she smashed the car up
and,
you know, with the children in the car and obviously the confidence thing. But the result of that is she's uninsurable because she's got 4 reportable accidents.
Mm.
And when we rang up for most quotes, they were like, you know, it was like an extra $3,000 just for it.
Yeah.
So she can be navigator.
Well, she's got a harder job than me. She's got to look after 2 boys and a dog. So, you know, I'm much happier sat in the front, you know, driving. I'd do that job any day over trying to deal with, you know, 2 boys in the motorhome while you're driving. Definitely. She's got the harder job. So
I can hear them chatting in the background there while we're talking to you. Can't hear the dog.
She waits till the boys are asleep before she gets rowdy. Yeah. She knows it's gone now. Boys go to bed. She'll start yelping for a stroke or something. Or
Yeah, a bit of attention.
Yeah, which is fine. She's definitely the firstborn. We actually found out that she wasn't very well when we were staying with my mum. So we went down to the vets to get her looked at. She actually got diagnosed with pancreatitis. But whilst they were there, they said, has she ever been shot? What? And she's actually got a piece of metal shot in her fourth rib. She's been shot with either a pellet gun or a...
Oh, how strange.
No idea. We've no idea.
But she's quite happy.
It's the mystery of who shot the dog. Probably someone in Spain.
Yeah. Adam, it's been absolutely fascinating talking to you. Really interesting.
It's certainly inspiring, yeah, and made me think we should get our van out. Perhaps we should be giving our jobs up and heading off.
Oh, 100%, yeah. Go off season.
Definitely. Good luck with what comes next.
Good luck to you all, and I'll be listening to the podcasts now I've finished my audio book.
Thank you, Adam. It's been lovely to talk to you.
Bye-bye.
Bye. Sad in a lot of ways that he's got to come back to the UK, isn't
it? Yeah. He wasn't very impressed with that, was he, coming back? He didn't want to. Don't blame him. But,
no.
But, you know, he seems to be very content, doesn't he?
Thank you to Adam and his family of wandering nomads. And, of course, as always, huge thanks to all of you. Not just for listening, but for sharing it. We've been delighted with the feedback from you. It's been fascinating hearing about some of the unexpected turns in your life, and we look forward to hearing more. In fact, we've invited one of our listeners onto our show, so you'll be hearing from them sometime soon. Bye for now. Following Adam's advice, we decided to take a trip to Belchite on our way down to the south of Spain, and I could thoroughly recommend it. Very, very thought-provoking.